Welcome to We Are The Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are The Watchers.
Welcome to We Are The Watchers, episode 5 of the Game of Thrones special. Tom,
Is it just me? Is it getting hot in here?
When we finished watching this episode last night, we usually do a bit of a debrief, a bit of, oh, that was really cool, that was really cool. We sat there just like,
it was a lot to process.
I spent probably a good 20 solid minutes sitting on the edge of my seat with my elbows on my knees, propping my chin up just because I had to be closer to the screen. It was super exciting.
So much. So much happened.
There are a lot of problems with it, but there are a lot of really great stuff in there as well.
Sure. Well, look, I'm going to go. I'll say it now. I enjoyed it a whole lot more than I did the last two episodes. I know I have read a lot online that I may be alone in feeling that.
I don't think you are, though, because I've read a fair bit and I feel like there are two camps. There's the camp that are like, did not like, the camp that are, and then there's the other camp that says, this was always going to happen. And I think I'm somewhere in the middle where I understand both points. And I think maybe the best way that this could have been done so that both camps are a little more happier is, maybe we did need that 10 episode season.
Yeah, who thought we needed the episode bloat?
Yeah.
We needed a couple more episodes to breathe. Look, I'm firmly in that this was always going to happen. I've been waiting for this for years. They left it late.
They really left it really late.
And I think that has shocked a lot of people. I'd also like to see what the Venn diagram is of people that didn't enjoy episode 3, Battle of Winterfell, and did enjoy this versus the flip, because I feel I feel like the Battle of Winterfell, the Long Night, kind of really ticked the box for a lot of show only watchers, whereas this episode really ticked the box for a lot of book readers.
Yeah, I understand that. I would say from a visual perspective, in let's have a look at battles, this one was phenomenal.
Very Saving Private Ryan. There was some handy cam shakiness that took me back to Black Hawk Down. I thought it was very clever. Same director as The Long Night.
Yeah.
I thought it was really clever that he chose to frame all the action from the POV of people on the ground.
So it was always
we very rarely got any shots from Danny's POV. It wasn't too much about looking down. It was about terrified people looking up.
That's right. And I think that was the main reason why Arya was there.
Oh, she was there just so we had someone we recognised running through the crowd.
Yeah. I finished that episode thinking, I'm not quite sure what she's doing.
Was that a real horse or was that a metaphorical horse?
Yeah, well, there's
horse?
A whole heap of stuff to do with that as well, which we'll definitely get to. But I wanted to have a little chat about the fact that it was from the perspective of the people.
Mm.
Because once Daenerys heard the bells and once she went, I'm just going to burn everything anyway, we did not see her face.
No.
At all after that.
Bells.
Yeah.
I hate bells. Anyone that's ever been woken up at 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I had that. There was a church near my house growing up. Yeah. Always bells.
So I have an association of bells of annoyance.
Yep.
It's always something that just interjects, you know, oh, this doesn't affect me. I could see why it was, you know, maybe the final straw that pushed her over the edge.
I like the character Daenerys, and I think I always have. And this season has confused the hell out of not the show, but me and my feelings towards Daenerys. Every episode that I think she's in pretty much every episode of Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Pretty much. We would catch up with her usually in the last part of the episode, and you knew that that was going to be the exciting bit.
Mm.
And you knew that her battles were not only the battles that we see visually, like with, you know, dragons and people trying to steal her dragons and then her trying to, you know, conquer places. But her battles were also not only within her mind but also within her lineage.
Sure.
So there's a lot of battles that she was going through. But despite all of that, the show, the books, Emilia Clarke managed to make Daenerys a likable character. Mm. And we have been, as Americans would say, rooting for her. We've been going for her the whole time. And she's had some really weird moments during the whole entire series where you just go, oh, that was a bad idea. And there's been many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess those were the, what people could say, the foreshadowing.
Yes.
But despite those weird moments, they've managed to pull it back so that the audience goes, yeah, but we still really like you. We're still going for you. We're still rooting for you. And then this series, they were like, oh, we've only got 6 episodes. We've really kind of, we know where it's ending because that's what George R.R.R.R. Martin told us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to make her mad. I just think we needed those few extra episodes to really drill home the fact that this is a person, this is a character that everybody, well, not everybody, but people really like. And now suddenly she's turned and now people don't know how to feel. They don't know whether to be angry at the character. They don't know whether to be angry at the show. They don't know whether to be angry at George R.R. Martin or if they just have to accept it and let it go. And I think the latter is probably the answer.
And look, I agree. I think the latter's the answer. She's the Walter White of this show. Do you know what I mean? And we just didn't know. Well, a lot of people didn't know they were following a Breaking Bad.
Hmm.
That we were seeing someone. It's not that she's evil. That's not what's bothering it. It's that it's tragic. It's because we're so invested in her and we know
exactly.
her motivation.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
understand the steps that have led to this fall from grace.
Hmm.
So, you know, in another way, she's kind of the Anakin Skywalker turning to Darth Vader. It's that we've fallen a we've witnessed the tragic fall from grace.
Hmm.
And many people had her pegged as the one who would end up ruling,
yeah,
which could still be very correct, but very few had her turning fully into, you know, a worse tyrant than anyone that's come before.
If anything, I think it's interesting. People may be disappointed. People may have already known, but it's interesting. I've enjoyed reading and witnessing people's reactions to
yeah.
it and my own. Like I said, I've been so much more invested in her this season where I never had before. I was just like, oh, cool, Daenerys is going to be on. Now we'll get to see the dragons. This is fun.
Her storyline was so separate for so long that it felt like a drag because momentum was happening elsewhere and she was off knocking around in Essos.
Yeah.
Now that she's in the fold with everyone, I think we've definitely seen the cracks more. Everyone that tempered her anger before is gone.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a huge part of playing there. Maybe she was always mad, but she had people she would listen to. And the moment she's got Tyrion, who she's going to kill the next time she sees him.
I actually didn't think Tyrion was going to last this episode.
We haven't seen him.
After the bells, I think we did see him. Correct me if I'm wrong, I've only seen it once. I don't remember seeing him
after the bells. Yeah. I kept waiting for him to pop up in the tunnels or something to help down there. Nope, it'll be interesting to find out next week where he was.
So this is the what will be interesting part for the next episode because this is literally the last time we can do some predictions.
It's hard to do theories at this point because there's kind of like 8 possibilities of what it could be and 3 of what it should be and that's it.
Yeah, it's really difficult. So if Daenerys does stay leader.
Yes.
Sansa is in so much trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I thought she was safe. She is not safe at all. Also, I have a friend who was discussing the episode with me and she was like, why were Tyrion and Jon able to get away without being burnt, but Varys was the one that was killed? It should have been all 3 of them. And everybody on the internet has been using this line, but plot armor. They still had to be alive because they still had storylines.
I think it's plot armor. I think it's as well those two, everyone knows Varys' tactics and that he's going to spread that info. And I think it's...
Did he get the chance?
Yes.
Okay, I thought so.
So, look, I wasn't 100% sure, but I thought we saw those people from Winterfell that were at King's Landing, those refugees. I thought the little girl might have been the little girl that Varys was talking to at the beginning with the note.
Mm. It wasn't, but...
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But I spent a lot of the episode thinking it was. He would have sent out several of those notes. So that information is out.
Everywhere.
And I think it's the combination of... He's going to put the information out if anyone is, plus the fact that he was openly courting John. And she, you know, she stood up there and watched him do it.
And that's enough. Yeah, I know. That really sucked. And that was a little, that would have really had the advantage of those couple of extra episodes to have that boil, because Varys wouldn't have gone full on in that hard. He would have done the soft sell first.
I kind of think that that should have happened just before the long night. And if it had happened then, Varys didn't play any role. You know, he just hid out in the crypts. He could have found out before and started, you know, causing issues, sowing discontent before the battle.
Mm.
And that would have led to either killing before the battle, great, messing with everyone's minds, or wait till after the battle and she's that fired up from everything. Then it's the next step of this anger. It's not one episode of her dealing with stuff and watching everyone love John more and all all the things that, sure, impact your mental state. I think it could have just been instead that she was on such an adrenaline rush from the Battle of Winterfell that maybe she just never let up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we talk about my boy Euron? Because he was amazing. I loved it. So I know a lot of people are like,
A lot of people are like, what the hell is the point of that?
Because he got to lay there on the ground and go, I'm the man that killed Jaime. He wasn't.
No, he wasn't. And also, he mentioned the fact that, Jaime, you can kill another king. People will sing songs about you. And the fact that he at the end of that scene goes, I'm the one that killed Jaime. It's like, no one's going to sing a song about you because no one knows about that.
That's right. No one will ever know.
I mean, for him, that hurt.
I don't think it did hurt. I don't think he knew. I think he died maniacally laughing, like, ha, ha, ha. Well, you think back, he did tell Jaime he was going to... I think he said, I'm going to fucking kill you or something like that. 2 seasons ago, he said, I'm going to take you. So, you know.
And he did.
He did. He was such a good actor.
He's horribly wonderful or wonderfully horrible. I think wonderfully horrible.
I like that people called that the Dane Bowl because Nikolai are both Danish.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dane Bowl. Speaking of bowls, should we dive into it?
Are you talking about my favourite part in the whole entire episode?
What, when Qyburn got his head smashed in and thrown on the ground? That was
peak. We were like, wow!
That was peak episode for me.
That was so good. That was the best death, right?
Yep, by mile.
It really was.
It was so unexpected. Oh, okay.
And it's exactly what would happen.
Yep.
In those kind of chaotic, don't know what the hell is going on moments, like someone would just die as easily as that.
And I think it almost set us up, and like I know we're skipping ahead, but I think it almost set us up for not having the huge satisfying ending for Cersei that so many people wanted, which I think is a big reason why some people are unsettled by the episode, because so much build-up has been coming for you've got to take out Cersei. Well, we had that already with the Night King, and instead her... We'll talk about her in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just the way she sidestepped that whole situation. She's like,
guys, I'm out.
You killed Qyburn, I'm out. You two do what you got to do.
I enjoyed her walking past. Oh. I enjoyed her walking past and neither... I mean, the Hound gave her a little glance and the look was, this is my focus.
He could have stabbed her right there and then.
So easily.
Didn't care.
He didn't care.
Not one given. The framing of that was insane. The way they had the mountain standing a few stairs higher, so he just loomed. It was like the oppressive nature he'd put on his brother his whole life.
Mm-mm.
Framed with the light behind. Dragon soaring.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I like that things were tumbling around next to them, around them. It almost felt like the end of a boss fight.
Amen. Felt like something out of God of War.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I quite enjoyed the editing where they were swapping between him and Arya and almost the exact same movements were happening. Like when he was down, she was down. When she would lean to the side, he would lean to the side. Yep. I really enjoyed that. I think that whole, what would it have been, about 7 minutes in total?
Something like
probably.
That. Was pretty good.
Highlight, absolutely. And the way... You know, he stabbed him so many times and then right through the head. And then he's like, why aren't you dying? And then he just grabbed him. Well, yeah, he grabbed him. They threw the wall.
To kill his brother, he had to dive into the flames.
Beautiful.
He finally found something that he was afraid of more than the flames. I will say that Arya calling him Sander ripped me up.
Yeah.
And that was...
Yeah.
I almost feel like that we had that beautiful moment of Bran telling Theon he was a good man and giving him that redemption. And it was kind of mirroring that, but in their own way.
Yeah.
And is that potentially the first time that the Hound has ever chosen to save a life, to send her away?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That was his final great gesture to her, was to save her.
That scene made me think about their relationship and how much of a father figure he actually was to her.
Very much so.
And how weird that is when you think about the beginning of him and her.
Yeah. Well,
he's in the books it was similar too. Like it was that they were sort of very similar. I remember the relationship even then was almost comical.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, one of those buddy journey
very odd
stories.
Odd yeah. Couple. Yeah. Look, I think he was the only person he was the only male that was in her life that didn't have preconceived notions of what she should be or expectations of where she was supposed to go. He didn't think of her as a lady. She was just a fucking child.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And she spent a lot of her journey pretending not to be who she was.
That's right.
But with him, that wasn't a thing. Yeah.
And he both saw and accepted what she could be when no one else would.
He turned out to be an amazing character.
So good.
I'm so glad that he got that moment.
Remember that episode where he hung out with Ian McShane on some weird commune?
Yes.
What was that with that?
I remember thinking, this is not going to last long.
No.
And it didn't.
It didn't. An episode.
Yeah, if that. We were talking about emotional moments where, you know, people were saying goodbye. I'd say the one that choked me up was Tyrion and Jaime. I was like,
yeah, I don't think there was a dry eye in the house.
That was beautiful. And I'm going to give, not total credit, but I'm going to give a lot of the credit to Peter Dinklage.
I will agree. Look, same as yourself, I haven't watched the whole thing a second time. I watched bits and pieces. The first third of this episode is almost entirely Tyrion's story. It's as if we were in the books and we were reading one of his chapters.
They were always my favourite chapters, by the way.
Yeah, it's so much snark.
Every time.
But it just felt like there was a little bit more POV handed to him.
Mm.
And that makes sense because this feels very much like the episode that they will submit for Emmy consideration. And
he's just such a good actor.
So good.
If you can, you might as well make the whole episode just hang off his shoulders, or at least, you know, the first third. You might as well, because you know he's going to deliver.
There was a moment when Varys was about to be executed and it cut to him, and the way his hair was blowing all bouffant, he looked like an 80s version of the bad guy from Hackers. Fisher Stevens, he plays a character called the Plague.
Yeah.
Just... it looked like he was wearing a leather vest with... It was sexy.
What did you think about that scene? My favourite bit of that scene on the beach, Varys' execution, was the worn out, like, just no energy in Daenerys' voice where she just went, Jacaras.
Yeah. Just over it. That wasn't a crime of passion.
Going through the motions, Jacaras. And I wondered, because they held the dragon's gaze there for a moment, whether the dragon was going to be like, nah. Imagine, I mean, they couldn't have done the whole entire episode, but imagine if her dragon turned his back on her. It's not going to happen.
For a while there, when Rhaegal was still in the picture, I thought that that dragon was going to side with Jon and maybe Drogon would go. But no.
It's not going to happen.
Nope. Nor were there baby dragons.
No baby dragons.
No baby dragons.
I'm so annoyed. I want all of the dragons.
But there was a tiny man squeezing an arm of a eunuch.
Yeah, and that was beautiful.
It was.
It really was. And Varys was fine with it. He knew. He took his rings off. There was no anger or anything towards Tyrion telling Daenerys.
So I felt that Varys' actions, and especially the acceptance of it, was very Judas-like. It was that idea of he had more information. He made a call. There's this whole subsect that I'm not super knowledgeable about, but there's this religious subsect that believed that Judas was right. And it's not Satanism, but it's the idea that he was working in God's interest. Jesus told him, you have to do this stuff in order so that I can die and everything like that, but it swore him to secrecy.
Yeah, right.
And Varys kind of had that extra information, and he died a martyr in order to prove something to the world.
Mm. There was something about Varys. He was so conniving, and not even conniving, but he was just sneaky the whole time.
He played the
game. For seasons upon seasons upon seasons. And then when he sided with Daenerys, it seemed like he was a little more... At first you weren't sure.
Yep.
Because you're like, I know you. I know you. But he did stick to his guns in the end. That's what he believed he should have done. And he was open and outright about it. And that was very un-Varys. But I kind of liked that.
Yeah, I agree.
Look, let's get quickly back to Jaime.
Mm.
I know a lot of people weren't happy with the Cersei and Jaime death. And I think I was, if I can take Jaime away from that death, I would have been happy with how Cersei died.
Sure.
But I understand that she needed Jaime there for that impact and for her openness, her rawness at that time. But it almost felt like, to me, they sacrificed Jaime's arc to give Cersei that ending. Because to me it felt like the Jaime and Cersei relationship had ended. It had finished. That storyline felt finished to me end of last season.
Yep.
That was finished. And to bring him back there, not to kill her, but to say or try to save her and then die with her, it felt like it wasn't for Jaime, it was for her. How did you feel about it?
Look, at first I was a bit iffy about it because, as you say, it's a huge backslide for his character. But Tyrion was the one who told him to go. Tyrion broke him out and said, you have to do this. And in a sense, you get that because you're stupid crazy over your family, let alone the one you love.
Yeah.
And we've all had friends who are in toxic relationships who just keep going back to that shit just well.
Keep going.
And he was in such a loop with her. Mm. That was his life.
Mm.
And, you know, there was that moment where he could have been happy with Bren. That wasn't really Jaime. And he never felt like he earned the redemption. Feel that he earned the redemption.
Yeah.
But we don't live in his head.
Yeah.
And he always had that reminder from losing the hand that he was half the man he used to be and couldn't change the whole way and stuff. I felt like it still kind of almost fulfilled Maggie's prophecy about...
Almost,
She still died with her little brother's hands around her throat.
Yeah, just in a different way.
Yeah, in a loving embrace.
Mm-hmm.
And I really kind of enjoyed that Cersei's story ended with a whimper and she brought her whole family down around, because her whole life had been about protecting her children and building a fortress around her family.
Do you know, it was only at that point where I realised that she was serious about being pregnant? The whole time I wasn't quite sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was still like, I think she's doing this as a ploy.
Did you enjoy the visual illusions of her standing on the map of Westeros she created while the keep crumbled around her? Oh,
I also really liked when the Hound and Arya walked through there as well. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah. So Cersei is gone.
Mm.
I liked how real she was at the end. I liked that.
She's just a terrified woman.
That's all she was.
And she said so little throughout the episode, which I know bothered a lot of people. She used to be so talkative. But I kind of felt that it worked because she trapped herself in that spider's web and she was tangled and nothing she could say was going to fix anything.
She played the Game of Thrones.
And lost badly.
Exactly. I was thinking of you a lot whilst watching every single shot that Jon Snow was in. I was just thinking, people are doing things around him again. And I just heard you in my mind going, people are doing things around him again.
Yep. I did say that a lot. I also went, hey, look, John's doing something. Sure, it's killing one of his own men.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, if this was not the second to last episode, that would be a huge narrative beat of the fact that John had to kill one of his own men.
But it wasn't. It was just honor. A quick, like, harping back.
Yeah, it was just stop raping women.
Yeah, and that was it. That was it.
My biggest what the of the episode
was
he had a moment with Grey Worm, John, and Davos standing at the front. Why is Davos there?
Davos still hasn't done anything in a battle.
Okay. Wasn't he busy smuggling a boat? Because that's what he was doing, right?
Davos is that good he can get around. He knows King's Landing so well.
Very well. He knows where all the onions are hidden.
That's right.
Mm.
I liked Grey Worm's little, I'm just going to start killing these people anyway. Hey, how good at being crap was the Golden Company?
So good.
It was brilliant.
I did call episodes ago that was their sole purpose was just to be a speed bump, and they were less of a speed bump than the Dothraki. It was really interesting the way that it started with Dany taking out the boats and then some of the battlements and then the gates bursting open with the flames coming through getting burnt. And you're watching that, you're like, this is awesome. And then within about 4 minutes, the bells ring and things go sour and you're like, oh, we're watching a disaster movie. This isn't a war movie. And it just, yeah, it was just dealing with like a natural disaster WMD rolled together.
Meanwhile, I'm still a little unclear as to whether that was Jamie with the bells or if that was Cersei saying to ring the bells. I couldn't figure out who rang the bells.
Yeah, because all the people were screaming, ring the bells, ring the bells. She didn't signal to ring the bells. Yeah.
There's often little moments. I think I noticed them more in this season because I'm really paying attention way more because I'm realizing that time's ticking down where things are a little ambiguous.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah.
Like was in the long night whether John was yelling go, go, go.
Yeah.
That
super
having
unclear.
Rewatched that scene, I see, you know, Nabil, definitely a very solid theory.
Yeah.
But there's just not that one element that can locks it in. And I was the same with this, of who rang the bells? Who made the call?
I can't figure it out. I've even gone online and there's no sort of one answer.
Mm.
It's just, there's more like, I don't really know what's going on. Arya with the white horse at the end.
Yeah, that was a bit much. They laid it on pretty thick.
Do you know what I would have liked that to have been? And I would have had a better reaction to it?
Nymeria?
Well, yeah, that's you know that's been my dream all season. But if you caught at the when she was on the horse and saw her riding off to the sunset, if we just had a quick moment with Bran and he opened his eyes again, and if he was walking that horse,
sure.
I would have liked that. That would have been cool, because it was steeped in symbolism instead.
I will build on that one better. I would have loved it if Bran had opened his eyes, turned to John and said, "You must not go to King's Landing," or something like that. Of like he just so you know,
it was all a dream.
It was all
well,
a dream.
Wasn't all a dream.
Kill
but it was
Danny
all a...
before you go. Save everyone. Won't be.
It won't be
he
because
doesn't see
people
the future that way.
And also, people are really scared of wake. You know, those sort of. And we woke up. It was all a dream.
Did you think that maybe she was riding that pale white horse off into the sunset of death?
I don't. I think. She's not coming back. That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm not coming back. Someone else has to kill Daenerys. I'm not doing this anymore.
Sure.
That was the first battle she was a part of, wasn't it? Apart from, you know, the battle with death itself. But this was the first, like, human.
Yeah, she's always been on the outskirts or arriving just at the aftermath to see her brother's head being paraded around.
That's right. So she got to see this and it was, you know, she was there through the thick of it the whole entire time and you could see it sort of literally, physically beating her down but mentally as well. So maybe she's just like, no, I'm out.
Yeah. Look, I think she spent all these years romanticizing the idea of death because she'd trained as an assassin, which is one-on-one, stare your opponent in the eyes, you know about them, you know the motivations, whereas she was just watching ugly carnage.
She clearly gave up on that halfway through the episode.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this. After the, you know, she had the chat with the Hound, she's like, yeah, you're right, I'm out.
But even, like, swapping entirely and trying to become a savior and get people out and just...
Didn't work.
Not at all. Mm-mm. She caused those people to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful.
It was pretty bad. It was almost a Daenerys thing.
So I was talking about this with Stu, my friend, and we were trying to peg things. If the Starks are left alive at the end, you've got Stark who'd be... John who'd be king of the realm, and then you'd have Sansa who'd be queen of the north.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have Bran, who's kind of protector of knowledge or key to the past.
And same with Sam.
But where does Arya fit in?
She doesn't,
because it
does
almost
she?
As if she wants to try and become life.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll flip to the other side and try and become a protector. I could see her almost becoming a violent Varys.
Yeah.
Off the people.
Off the people. No mucking around, no talking through whispers. Just, this is how we're doing it.
Yep.
Hmm.
Sansa is Littlefinger. Littlefell. and Jon is Ned.
John is Ned.
Because he just hasn't he's just learned.
No, he's Ned the whole time. And Daenerys is... What if it ends... and it's not. But what if it ends with Daenerys going, oh, look, I didn't really mean to do this. Really sorry, guys. I'm just going to fly my dragon out of...
Yeah.
I'm just going to go nowhere near this Westeros place anymore. Bye.
What if she kills everyone except the Dothraki? Who's going to braid her hair?
Yeah, she had a lot of braids this episode.
I think that shot of her at the beginning was... I can't remember the last time she was that unkempt. Maybe in the pits in Meereen, maybe with the Dothraki in season one.
But it's been a long time.
Yep.
And if they do kill her, how do they kill her?
I'm hoping, right, that John has to sentence her to death, gets her on her knees, won't swing the sword. Because his whole thing was, if you're going to sentence a man to death, you swing the sword yourself.
That's Ned.
Yes, he can't bring himself to chop the head off, so instead plunges it into her heart, pulls it out, lightbringer.
Oh, of course.
Sword. Won't happen, won't no. happen, won't happen.
Because what's the point of that at the end?
Wow.
But there's no going back for Daenerys. This is it.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see how they do it. What I want, not just from her storyline, but the whole Game of Thrones itself, is for next episode to have some amazing moment where you're just like, oh, that's not what I thought. They were not my theories, but my God, is that good.
So like Dany dies and Drogon goes nuts and everyone has to take down this rogue dragon.
I just don't want the dragon to die.
Dragon's got to die.
I know it does.
Magic's dying out. That's the point.
I'm so annoyed about it all. Can't wait for the prequels when there's more magic again.
We'll get answers. We'll find out about the Night King. Hopefully we'll get that Tormund and Ghost spin-off.
Oh my gosh. Imagine if the very last part of the episode is you see Tormund and Ghost hanging up in the north and they come across one of those symbols again and they're like, oh crap, guys. Think the Nightwalkers are still around.
Mm.
Who's out? And it's then, not going
to
happen. But.
Then they go home to both snuggle with a giant woman.
That's right. We're not doing any of this. Exactly. Yeah, a lot to think about with this episode. I'm going to have to watch it again as the week progresses just to get my head around
process. Just process it all.
It's not that it was confusing. It wasn't confusing like the Battle of Winterfell. It's just that I was speechless at the end because I'm not sure about all of the things. I think for me, the Daenerys storyline is, it's expected, but it's not expected. I want more. I don't know what I want.
But let me ask you this.
Yes.
If this Dany twist happened last season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we wouldn't care.
They would have lost a chunk of viewers because people would be pissed earlier.
Mm.
And I don't know. It's been amazing having the episodes with everyone unified. So it's kind of, if you look at it in the flip, if they'd done this earlier, the show would have fragmented much earlier. Whereas instead we had four wonderful episodes where it looked like everyone was finally getting along. So, how did I come back to being the one defending this show? Last week I was ready to throw it under the fucking bus.
You watch, next week will be all of the mixed emotions. We will have all of the reactions and I think along with everybody else we won't quite know how we feel about it.
We will probably see footage from Watchmen as well.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know if you saw the they were pushing the trailer a bit there. That's HBO's next big show.
Well, we'll hopefully get on board with it.
Mm.
All right, Tom, thank you very very much.
Two. Oh, I went to say Toodaloo or Huru, and it came out two.